All right, I'm going to ask you if you would open your Bibles with me for a little while this evening to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher, if you would, in chapter number 9 this evening. As we continue on, before we get into this, let me just make a couple of announcements real quick. We're going to continue on in our study, 6 p.m. Bible study of the doctrines that I have laid out. However, I did speak with Wally and with Robbie. And on the Sundays that we have nursing home, they're going to go ahead and take over that 6 o'clock Bible study for me. And I appreciate them doing that. Thank you very much, men. You're good teachers, and it's good for y'all. It's good for me. It's good for the church to hear different voices. Plus, preaching 3 times still is enough to keep a man occupied on Sundays. So that's going to cut us down or slow us down a little bit in getting through those things that I had outlined. We're, Wally, what is it, 46, 47? 48 that we're on of the 52 that I had mapped out to get to. But it'll just take us a little bit longer. And then sometime this year, I've been working on a calendar, a preaching calendar for this year. And then sometime this year, I may do it immediately after we finish up with this list of things that I have started on. I'm going to go through a series at 6 o'clock, and the series is going to be called You Asked For It. You Asked For It. I've been asked a number of things. Could you deal? I have said this, and I'll say it again to you. If there's something you'd like to hear taught on or for me to devote some time to, write it down or make sure that I get it. And I want to give some lessons on some things that you all have asked for. And some of them not easy subjects. Cremation, that's one of the things that I've been asked about. There's a number of things that have been brought that not necessarily easy, but this I think would be a good time and a good period of Bible study like this to approach these subjects. So anyway, thanks to these men, it's going to take a little bit longer to get finished with that list of 52, but then we will get into some of those things. And sure enough, if there's something, I just can't preach everything, but if there are some things you'd like to hear more about, the third heaven, I've had some interest in that. What does that mean when the Apostle Paul said he was called up into the third heaven? Just things like that people have asked about. So let me know, and we'll get into that. This evening, we'll deal with, don't mean to say this flippantly, but a morbid subject. This evening we deal with death and the resurrection, or death and the hereafter, is this week's study. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you would please. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath." I'm interested in this little phrase that comes out in verse number 2, where the preacher writes these words, "All things come alike to all," and then he says, there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. And I do believe, if you'll study this out, that one event that the preacher's talking about here is death. There's one event that is common to all. And that's exactly, I believe, what he is talking about here. This subject is, like many others that we have taken in hand, the subject of death is far too big to really do it justice in 1 6 o'clock Bible study. However, we'll try to deal with this and press forward like we have with other things. Death, if you're interested in this, the word dying, die, died or dead, if you do a word search on this, 800 to 900 times this is mentioned in the Bible. As you're reading through the Chronicles, you read again and again and again, this one gave birth or begat this one and he died. And, you know, over and over and over again. One inescapable truth of this life is that there is one event common to all of humanity, and that is death. I want to approach this in a, this is one of the more difficult subjects to deal with because it affects everyone. Death affects everyone. It has affected some more than others. You'll live a long time and never, ever, ever hear me do this again. In the Harry Potter series, and I just, you know, I'm not here bragging or knocking, but just listen to me. In the Harry Potter series, the kids go year by year, they go to this school. It is a school of wizardry and witchcraft, which is a whole other conversation, okay? But anyway, to take them from the train to that school, there are these carriages. And the carriages seem to most of the children to be drawn by themselves. You see all the parts sticking out as if there was a horse or some kind of animal there, but there's nothing there, and the carriages, you know, just drive themselves from the train to the school. But those who are very familiar with death, those who have seen death firsthand or have experienced the loss of someone that was very close to them, realize that this carriage, they can see that this carriage is actually driven by these magnificent creatures that those who've never really been that close to death can't see. In like manner, I think that death itself, unless you've really been close to it and been affected by it, you just can't see the power of it like others can. Here's what I'm saying. Both of my parents are still alive. Neither one of my brothers, I have two brothers, both of my brothers are still alive. I've never experienced the loss of a spouse. I've never been through the death of a child. Those that have been through these things see death in a different light than others do. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Those who have been very, very close to death can see things different than those that haven't. And there are many ways that I can share with you in hurt and in loss. But there's also, it's just a fact that those that have been through the death of a spouse can look at someone else that is going through that and share with them a common bond that I can't do. You understand? Someone that's lost a child can look at someone else that has gone through that and have a common bond that not everybody else has. It's just true. And though I stand before you to teach you what the Bible says about death, I can't share with all the heartache and hurt that everyone's been through. But this much I know. Death is not something to be feared for a child of God.
Amen.
It's coming. Folks, all things come alike to all. The preacher says there is one event to the righteous and to the unrighteous or to the wicked. And that one event is death. Do any of you know anyone that has left this earth that did not pass through the valley of the shadow of death? If our Lord doesn't come, everybody, and this, I hate to be so morbid, but we might as well face the truth, you understand? It would do mankind good to think about this. If our Lord doesn't tarry, one of these days, every one of us in this building are going to be dead and gone, period. It's just a fact. You can stick your head in the sand. You can run from it. You can deny it. You can pretend as though it's not going to happen, but that's not going to change it. There's one event that's going to happen to everybody. It has been said, you know, you used to hear the sarcastic things that men come, there's only two things you got to do, that's pay taxes and die. Well, you don't have to pay taxes, but you will meet death. And the truth is, even when our Lord comes and takes us up out of here, there will be a form of death as this old body passes away and is transformed or glorified into a new body. This text plainly declares that it doesn't matter who you are, righteous or wicked, whether you sacrifice to God or whether you don't sacrifice to God. Look at what it says in verse number 2. To those who are clean and to those who are unclean, to those that sacrifice, those that don't sacrifice, to the good and to the sinner, to those that swear or speak evil, or those that fulfill an oath. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Death is coming. It's going to come one of these days. What should our attitude be towards death? The writer of Ecclesiastes, you know this, the words are so good, they put it to music. To everything, there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born, and a time to die. It's just, folks, it will come. I'm not sharing with you anything that you don't know, but humanity as a whole is like the proverbial ostrich who just buries his head thinking that death's going to pass him by, but he won't. And every human soul is eternal. Every human soul is eternal. I don't want to go too far in too many different directions tonight. It's how big the subject is when you're talking about life and death. I mean, how much bigger can you get, right? I believe at the moment of conception, at the very moment of conception, a soul is birth. I don't know how else to say it. At the very moment of conception, there is now life, and that life has an eternal soul. And that soul, once God breathes into that, whatever you want to call it, this new life, once God breathes into that new life a soul, that soul is eternal from then on. But every human life, when I say eternal, doesn't mean that we've been around since God, but from the moment of our conception, from the very moment that God birthed into us life, that we now have an eternal soul. What happens when we leave here? When the soul is separated from the body, what happens? If you were to go out here and to ask 10 different people this question, you might get 12 different answers. But there's really no reason for us to be unaware, or our King James language, to be ignorant of this, is because God in His Word tells us what happens. There shouldn't be this dark shroud overshadowing death so that you and I don't have any idea what's going to happen once we cross through the valley of the shadow of death. God's Word tells us what's going to happen. There's no reason for us to know. And I don't have any problem at all standing. I've preached a number of funerals, and I don't have any trouble at all. Someone who has led a life in service to Christ, and someone who has devoted themselves in service to Christ, who has a wonderful testimony of faith in Christ, I don't have any trouble saying just as surely as they were born again, they are in the very presence of God right now. Some of you have asked, and I'll deal with this at a later time. I think that all children that die in infancy, aborted children, I think they go to heaven. Amen. I think when they close their eyes in death, or whether they are prematurely stolen from their mother's womb, that they go to heaven. I think I've got Bible to back that up. I want to believe it, number one, but I do believe I have Bible to back that up as well. I think those that are never in a mental capacity, we live in a big world. In a big world, there's lots of problems. I think those that don't have the mental capacity to understand their need of a Savior, I think they, when they die, they go to heaven. That's what I believe.
Amen.
I'm not so worried about a period of accountability as much as when a child realizes I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. From that moment on, they are responsible for their behavior. That differs from child to child. I can't say it's age this or age that. But once God births us, God gives us a living soul, we become from there on eternal. Life doesn't end when you shut your eyes in death. No matter what people may say, people come out and say, well, once you die, that's it, it's over. That's just not true. You cease to be. That's not true. There's no in-between state. There's no such thing as purgatory. It is not in the Bible. It's just not there. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Of all the things, and I don't mean to be sarcastic or derogatory, but I don't want to come back to this life. You understand? People that believe in I don't want to come back here as a bird or a bee or anything else. I don't want to come back here as the president. I want to go see my Lord. I don't want to come back here.
Amen.
It's amazing how men come up with stuff. The grave is not the end of it all. Life just doesn't cease. This book tells us what happens to those who have died and gone on. It is a stark truth. It is a strong truth. It is a shocking truth. It is to some, it is far too hard, far too narrow, but God's Word makes it plain what happens to those that leave here when they die. Every life has value. Every life has value. Life should be protected and it should be guarded. I think that we all have an innate desire to live. A right thinking person. Did you hear what I just said? A right thinking person has a yearning to live. You take a normal person when they're not battling with other things, you take a normal person, you drop them in the middle of the ocean, they have an innate desire to fight for life. That is within us. But for a child of God, we have no reason to fear death. No reason to fear death. That doesn't mean that we should hurry our way towards it. Suicide's wrong. I've lost too many good friends to it. And it's wrong. It's the taking of life. It's murder. It's wrong. Genocide's wrong. Murder in every form that it comes is wrong. Feticide, the murder of the unborn, is wrong. What is called, and I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not a doomsday preacher. Y'all know, y'all here, you know this. But what is called gerontocide, the pushing away of the elderly because of their burden on society. I'm concerned about our future of our nation, and that I really am. I'm not doomsday. I'm not, you know, but I'm serious about that. When those that are not productive members of, you know, quote unquote, productive members of society any longer, who are just bleeding our national health care system dry, and what we need to do is just cut off their care to give it to those who really need it. That's what happens what may happen in this nation when we start looking at the elderly and say they're just too much trouble, they're just in the way. Life itself, do you understand life itself has been devalued? Life has been devalued, and who does that? Satan does that. The enemy of all righteousness does that. He who is a liar and a murderer from the beginning devalues life. I'll make a lot of good friends with this, but that's all right. Children are taught through all these vivid and violent games that they play now to murder and kill. And he says, just a game. No, it's not just a game. It is programming the minds of the young people that there's no intrinsic value to life.
That's right.
when there is a value to every life. And we see in our nation the very fabric of life being swept away. And what's so sad about it is that it ushers people off into eternity who are ill prepared for it. Life should be guarded and protected. Life is immensely valuable. I don't know, and you don't know, what we'll face before death comes. Wally and I had this conversation here not too long. We don't know what we're going to face before death. I like what one preacher said. He said, death doesn't scare me. I'm not afraid of death. He said, it's the dying part that concerns me. You understand that? I don't know, and you don't know, what God may allow us to go through. I'm reminded of this. Pat and I, we've got some things mapped out. We have a will. We have a living will. We have some of these things decided so that if the time should come, you don't have to decide. It's already decided. I don't want to be here in a state where I can't do anything. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be here where I'm just a burden on everybody. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'd rather be there with Him than I had to be laid around here in a vegetative state or in a debilitating state. That I'd rather go on and just be with the Lord, okay? But having said that, none of us know what we're going to face. You just don't. Now, you can run around in fear of it if you want to, but that's not going to change any of it. Life should be protected. Life should be honored. I appreciate and this is what I was making just a minute ago a reference to. When Bob Jones was here and he was talking about his father-in-law, Sue's father, who had gotten old and Alzheimer's, had robbed him of the man that he was, at one time a strong, strong man of God, preacher, one of just greatly used and blessed by God. But old age had robbed him of the man that he was. But he had this testimony. Remember Bob sharing this story? He said, you know, they were driving on the way home, and that man said, I don't remember my name, and Sister Sue's father, I don't remember my name, and I don't know who you are, but I know that I'm saved. And that was a good sermon, preacher. Amen. So even in a state like he was in, he's dead and gone, but his testimony is still blessing us, isn't it?
Amen.
So you just don't know. We don't know what may befall us dying, what the process of death may come, and what different face that it may take, how it may look. We just don't know. May God give us grace to bear it well when it comes, no matter what it is. I want to honor Him and serve Him till I close my eyes in death, and then when I want to go to heaven, I want to do that again. And I'm going to have to do it there with the infirmity of this flesh. That's what I want. When I get to where I'm not useful to God anymore, get me out of here. I'm through. That's how I feel about it. The child of God should look at death differently than the world does. An unsaved person has every reason to fear death. For what waits on them on the other side of death is worse than whatever it is now. This is a hard reality, but it is true. An individual who is here and suffering, and folks, men and women and young people even suffer horrible physical pain and struggles, they do. But if they're not saved, none of that will be as bad as what hell will be. And that's hard, and people don't like that kind of preaching in modern America. They don't like this heaven and hell preaching one way. You're going to die and you're going to go here, people don't like that, but it's still the book.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to, what's that guy's name? You know who I'm talking about. I'm not trying to make any stabs, any local stabs, that local pastor here who put that atrocious article in the Houston Home Journal, Billy Powell. And I'm not one to call his names, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to put it on the internet, and I don't care if he shows up at my front door next week. Any man has the audacity to call himself a preacher and deny the existence of a literal hell? It was in black and white. I got a witness. Folks, you listen to me. This book still declares that when Lazarus died, the angels... Amen. You want to know what's going to happen to you, saved person, when you die? Read the book. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Amen. I still love the mindset that, would, you know, the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I think he dispatches angels from heaven. You've been looking after them. You looked after them before they were saved. That's part of God's prevenient grace. Hebrews talks about those who are ministering spirits to those who are the heirs of salvation. I believe we have angels looking over us before we're saved. We have angels looking over us while we're saved. And then while we face death, I think the Lord says, y'all been looking after them. Bring them on home. Just bring them on home. But not only does it say that those angels carried Lazarus, I believe at that time, to the place of paradise, and that's another conversation to be had altogether. Well, now we usher straight up into heaven. Everybody with me on that? Are you with me on that? Some of you. After the death of Christ, now we usher straight into glory rather than the center of the earth is what I believe. But for a lost person, the Bible still says, and the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes.
Amen.
And this is not a parable. That man tried to claim that that was a parable. This is not a parable.
Amen.
This was a literal happening of two men. Child of God, we have a natural desire, and I believe God gave it to us in our very being to live and to live as long as we can. But we don't have to fear death either. We don't have to fear death. Death, as a child of God, my dad always said this, is graduation day. We're graduating up into glory.
Amen. Yeah.
Our time here in school is done, and now we graduate and going on up into glory. There is an immense difference, an eternal difference in the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. Amen. They're both going to die. It is an inevitability. Both will die. But when we're looking for answers about life and death and what happens after death, where are we going to turn for answers? Do we turn to science? Biology? Astrology? What do we turn to for answers about life and death and the hereafter? Well, I'm going to turn to the book of life.
Amen.
That's where I'm going to go to the book of life.
Amen.
In this book, I find out about a man who went through death's door and came back. And he has the authority to tell me about it. And not only to that, I'm told about the one who gave life, who birthed life into existence. He can tell us far, far more about life and death than anybody out here in this world can.
Amen.
People say, well, everything you believe about heaven and stuff like that, you get out of this book. Yeah. Guilty. Amen. That's right. You got me. What are you believing in? I mean, there it is. You say, well, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing the world we live in. The same people that you say, do you want to die and go to heaven? Well, yeah. Do you believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, eternal word of God? No, I don't believe it. Wait a minute. That doesn't correlate in my mind. You understand? You say everything you believe about heaven and hell and life after this, you come out of this Bible. Yeah, I do. But what are you believing in? What's your hope in? You going to come back here? You going to be reincarnated here? Your soul's going to sleep? It should be easily understood. Folks, please, I don't mean this to be flippant, but this part of you that makes you you is going to go on past the grave. This body that you're looking at is just a tabernacle of clay. I was made out of dust and I'll go back to dust. It's going to happen. These bodies, one writer I read, he said, we start dying from the minute we start living. I mean, it's just one way to look at it. you and I, if you've ever been to a, and I know that you have, but when you go to a casket, you have a casket laying there in front of you, and I want to handle this well because I know some of you have been through great loss. You see a casket lying right in front of you, you know that what you see there is not who that person was. You understand what I'm saying? You see that body. You see that body that you loved and you hugged and you held and that was dear to you and was close to you and that you shared with. You see that, but you know that that's not the totality of that person.
Right.
That living spirit or that soul that was within them is gone. And that part of us, that soul, spirit, however you want to split it up, lives on, is eternal from the sense when God births us. It's hard for me to imagine that there are people that think that this consciousness, this soul, is just only fit for this life. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul who said, if in this life only
Amen.
We have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Amen.
If this is it, y'all want me to say, do what? If this is it, a little Huey Lewis for you. I'm telling you, folks, I'd be greatly disappointed if this is it. We were created for more. Now, I love life. God's good to us, but we're created for more than this. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
Job said that. That's just a fact. Our days are determined. Job 14, verse 5 says, our days are determined. The number of our months are with God, and God has appointed our bounds that we cannot pass. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. It's going to happen. You've got a divine appointment with death, and you're going to meet it. People say, well, is it possible to extend life? Well, I don't have time to get into all this. God normally doesn't work outside of the parameters of the laws that He created. Let me say that again. God normally does not work outside of the natural laws that He created, that He made. Here's what I'm after. People say, well, you said they died early. This person died a premature death. And that's I understand what is meant by that. But the bounds of our habitation are determined by God. But the decisions that we make affect. A man who gives himself and all of his life to drugs and alcohol, is God to be held to account for his decisions and choices in his life? Normally, God works within the parameters of the natural laws. If a man destroys... I had an uncle who was 60 and he looked like he was 120 because of the life that he had led.
Right.
Giving himself over to a constant state of drunkenness and a hard life. God normally is not going to just miraculously heal this man's liver from the years of abuse. It's just not. So God normally works within the parameters. I've known people that they had a cancer, had a diagnosis. The doctor says, you're going to die, and God miraculously healed them, and they live far beyond what the doctor said. I've known that. But normally, God doesn't work outside the parameters of the natural laws that He's prescribed. People like me who don't eat well, who don't make good, healthy choices, that don't exercise, naturally speaking, somebody who eats better, takes care of themselves, will live longer. It's not excluding God's appointed time, but God doesn't work apart from the decisions. You understand that God is indeed sovereign, but we're still responsible for the decisions we make every day. Someone may put themselves in an early grave. Someone may up and decide they want to jump off the Empire State Building and their parachute fell. You could say they died a premature death. Yeah, but God didn't put them on top of the building. You understand what I'm saying in it? I don't have time to deal with it, but 2 Kings chapter 20 talks about God sending his man, prophet Isaiah, unto Hezekiah, and he said, you're going to die and not live. Hezekiah started praying, and God extended his life. But that's an abnormality. That's not what normally happens. Normally, God works in the parameters of his own law. Job said this. I hope y'all not getting tired of these Bible questions. I'm having so much fun on Sunday mornings with these things. But there's so many of them. Job 14:14 says, if a man die, shall he live again?
Amen.
Now, don't tell me that won't preach. If a man die, shall he live again? I preach that right now. For the child of God, Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die.
Amen.
You say, well, wait a minute. Now, I've known a lot of people. Yeah, but that soul never died. That soul was never touched by the second death.
Amen.
That soul is eternal. God has birthed life into us. God gives us life at our moment of conception. And then we are born again. How about this one? This one's coming. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? I didn't tell me that. I tell you how to preach, boy. I'm telling you. How can a man enter a second? I can't preach that now. But the answer is, Job, if a man die, shall he live again? Oh, yes, he will. We will live again. How? Read 1 Corinthians 15. Read that. I've got it in my notes. And I had like this much of it. And I said, but these bodies that are put in the ground, praise God, that's not what's going to come up out of the ground.
Amen.
Every soul will have an eternal body of some sort. The righteous will be raised unto life. When I don't believe in a general resurrection. When the rapture comes, I believe those that are saved at that time will be raptured up. Those that are asleep in Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those that sleep in Christ, their bodies will be raptured up, will be brought up out of the ground, and they'll be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Amen.
Our bodies, these bodies that laid in the grave, these bodies, I don't care how long you've been laying there, it doesn't matter. It don't matter if they were devoured by animals, it doesn't matter if they were buried at sea, it doesn't make any difference. Those bodies that have been laid, God's going to raise them up. He keep track of them. Every one of his children, he'll keep track of them. I believe when he comes, he will raise those bodies up and he'll change them just like that. And we'll be, 1 John chapter 3, we'll see him as he is, for we shall be like him. We'll be transformed in a moment. This mortal, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, do you hear this? This mortal, are you mortal? Will put on immortality. Isn't that sweet? The body that is sown in weakness, raised in power.
Amen.
Man, that's good. Isn't that good? This body that is sown a natural body, be raised up a spiritual body. Read 1 Corinthians 15. You know good and well, you take a seed, and there's the analogy that he gives. Here before too long, spring will be here. Some of you will plant gardens. You'll take a tiny little seed, you'll put it in the ground. Is what comes up out of the ground the same thing as what you put in the ground? No, it looks completely different, doesn't it? That seed goes into the ground, it dies, it germinates, life comes up. That's the picture that is given us. For the believer, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. Death, yeah, it's coming, but we don't have to fear it. I hope God, you know, my dad used to say this when he would say this, and as a kid, your eyes would bug up about this big, especially with your daddy saying. He said, I hope I die in the pulpit or the Lord raptures me while I'm preaching.
Amen.
I know how it feels, though. You know, I do. I just want to die serving God. That's all I want. But for the unbelievers, there's judgment coming. Let me help Mr. Billy Powell a little bit. One of the reasons why hell is eternal is that men will continue to sin.
Amen.
Even in the flames of an eternal lake of fire, men will continue to sin and God will continue to judge them.
Amen.
For it. I understand what he says that during this lifetime, if we commit X amount of sins and there's X amount of punishment for that sin, that eventually 10,000, 10 million, 10 billion years later, that would be paid for. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die and it will continue to sin and God will continue to judge. And I'm going to give you a hard truth. Hell, the lake of fire, will burn eternally to the glory of God. Now, that's just the truth.
Amen.
We had a gentleman call us. We still ain't got that check, have we, Miss Brenda? We had a gentleman call us, and he said, "Man, I've been listening to y'all on sermon audio." He said, "I don't know anybody around here that preaches truth like you do." He said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What do you think about that proverb that says that God has created all things, yea, even the wicked, for himself?" And I said, "I believe it means what it says." And we talked about that verse a little bit. He said, "I'm going to send you a check. I'm going to send you." He said, "Can I send y'all a check? I appreciate what you..." We ain't got that check yet, Miss Brenda. But anyway, I was positive feedback, and I was thankful for that. But God has created all things for himself, yea, even the wicked. God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But Amen. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men don't die and go to hell because they're not elected unto salvation. Men die and go to hell because they're sinners and they choose to sin. And even when they stand before the Lord in his glory, and you read Revelation, have y'all got over that? Where God pours out his fury on earth and he's angry, and the Bible says, and they still repented not. Even through all of that, they still repented not. Read Revelation. I've got it here, and I won't get to read Revelation 20 that speaks of the unbeliever and the second death. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Glory to God, dear saint. Don't you have something to be shouting about? I don't want to be touched. Blessed and holy is he that hath no part, not touched by the power of the second death.
Amen.